Brother Taylor just called and said that his mother did get promoted. She did pass to the presence of the Lord. He was 98 years old and ready for that event to happen. And if I see the 90s, I'm going to be good and ready too. I can't see me seeing that. I sometimes wonder how people get into those latter years like that. But some people are blessed with very, very many years, and some people, the years are short. 70 is given to man. That's the median level in Scripture, and we can see that bearing out in the human race. 70 is given to man, and by reason of strength, 80. And there are people living beyond that because of the modern medical miracles that help us to live longer. But no matter how long we live here, the important thing is where we're going to go from here and where we're going to spend eternity. That's why revival, that is our theme tonight, and that's why we are going to pray in just a little while after reading from the theme scripture that has to do with revival once again this evening. It's so vitally important because revival always starts in the church, usually, and it results in effective evangelism. It sweeps hundreds of souls, thousands of souls, into the kingdom of God. And that's why revival is so crucial and so critical. If Jesus came right now, those that are sealed by his Spirit and haven't turned away from him will go to heaven. But those that don't know him will not go to heaven. And the time that is coming right after the catching up of the church is a terrible, terrifying time. And if people cannot come to the Lord in days like this, I believe people that were on the fence are going to be the people that come to the Lord during the tribulation, because they know where their soul will spend eternity if they go with the flow of the world system. But people that have rejected the gospel, I can't see a big revival among those folks. It's the people that knew better but didn't really make the commitment, that are on the fence. They are the people going to come to the Lord during the tribulation. But the people that have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ through hardened hearts and lives that said, I choose darkness over light, they're not going to choose death over life to receive Christ during that day, the majority of them. So now is the time to reach them. Can you say amen? This is the day. This is the hour. This is our window of opportunity to reach the world for Jesus. And I'm so glad to be a small but significant part of what the Lord is doing around the world. I never dreamed that I pictured myself in, you know, by this stage of my life ministerially, to be in a church of maybe, you know, several hundred people and you know, have some souls saved in the city and doing some good things for the Lord. But I never dreamed I'd be in a micro church. I wasn't looking for a mega church, but I wasn't looking for a micro church either. And yet here we are, and this is where God sent us. But as my sister pointed to all the pins, and that's growing number every week. We're getting new people coming from different places on the globe to download the Word of God from this ministry. So God has decided that he wants to promote this ministry to become a global influence instead of just a county or city or state influence. And we're so grateful to him for that. Revival is crucial. Revival is critical. And there's no avoiding the need in America. It doesn't matter how many people are going to churches on Sunday. We are in desperate need of a revival here in America. And we've got a God who's in the revival business. Praise the Lord. He loves to do that. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. He loves to stir and rekindle flames in hearts. And the Holy Spirit is so active in this. Anybody that wants to be stirred can be stirred. Amen. All we have to do is let the Lord know just how much we desire it tonight. So we're going to begin this service, and we're going to pray in just a little while on the theme of revival. And we're going to pray for a particular part of the process of revival to take place. And I believe we're going to be very specific in our prayer tonight, not just generally, but for the specific ingredients that is necessary for true revival to come. We're going to pray for that in just a little while. And I hope you're interested to know what some of these ingredients are tonight. Amen.
God is good. God is good. God is good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, Lord. We thank you for the spirit of revival, Lord. I thank you, Father, that the Spirit of God lives on each and every one of us that's in here, Father God. And Lord, I thank you, Father God, for this evening, Lord. Lord, have your way in this place, Father. Lord, we can do nothing without you, Father. Unless you build the house, we will labor in vain, Father. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We are a hunk of mud without you, Holy Spirit. And we welcome you in this place. We welcome you to change and rend our hearts, O God. And let the work begin in us. Let the revival begin in us, O God. Let the revival begin with us, O God, Father. Lord, create in us a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within us, O God, Father. Lord, and then, Father God, we want to see souls converted and saved and changed and delivered and set free, Father. And Lord, I thank you and praise you. We worship. We come and worship a risen Savior, Father. We come and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Abba, Father. And Lord, we welcome you in this place, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sean. We love you, brother, and we appreciate you tonight. When you love one another, support one another, pray for one another, show compassion to one another, uphold one another, the fire seeds of revival are being sown. Yea, in that act of love to one another, you are moving in a way that my spirit will anoint, saith God. And my spirit will become very active in a church like that, in a person like that. So continue to love one another, for my power flows through that channel, saith God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe that. We claim the scripture for our radio outreach, and God has honored that particular part of his word that we claim, because I believe it, number one, it's his word. He wants to send his word and to heal. And beginning with the deadly wound of sin. Everybody say the deadly wound of sin. Do you happen to have this morning's the Elijah thing? Did you bring it back? Okay, good. Because we'll just play that in just a moment. Because I believe we are, that song was written in the spirit of revival. And we'll have that before we pray for revival. I want to bring you some more information on revival in the Hesperides in the 1940s. But not this evening. We will bring that to you by video. It's a short video. But then from there, hopefully in the coming weeks, we can upgrade to the revivals that are taking place right now in the 21st century around the world. We can't get a lot out of China, because if their pictures are on YouTube or their pictures are on some kind of videos, they are being persecuted. Dale gave us videos as a gift when this revival really came to light in China. And some of the very people that appeared in that video have since been persecuted, and some have been imprisoned as a result of making the video of their prayer, their worship, and their testimonies in China. People are being persecuted around the world. Where there is real revival, there is heavy persecution. The early church began to experience real, authentic revival. Can you say amen? And with it came persecution. The Bible spoke about the hundredfold blessing, and we're talking about the blessings of the kingdom, not just the material stuff. It's literally saying that God is going to give you something greater than a hundredfold houses and lands could ever do for you. Thank you for the hearty amens. It's the truth. It's the truth. Otherwise, you've got to get a hundredfold husbands and a hundredfold wives. Come on, that's part of the same content. We leave that out, and I just saw somebody roll their eyes when they said a hundredfold wives, but I'm not going to tell you who it was because their wife is here. Anyway, moving right along. Well, you just don't want 100 wives. That might be a compliment, right? You say, Doug is so well trained. Amen. If he was a dog, I'd think he'd been to obedience school. Anyway, moving right along. God is good. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I love Doug, and I love to pick on him when I'm not picking on Ditter. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Real revival is what I'm interested in. And we're people here tonight that love God, or you wouldn't be here tonight. Amen. There's no other reason to be here tonight but that you love the Lord. I want to see that real revival. I want to read about it. We claim the scripture. Amen. Psalm 107 and verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. We had a 15-minute broadcast that went to a 30-minute broadcast. And then while I was quoting that scripture on a Sunday morning, the phone rung in the office. We answered the phone, and it was the station giving us another hour of free radio time to take the live service and put it on radio. While we were quoting that scripture, the phone was ringing for the door to open for another hour of Let's Talk About Jesus streaming, not only going to North Florida, but also streaming on computer to wherever God would send it. And we know that they already have a listening base in Australia, and we know that one of the most frequently downloaded parts of our website is the Let's Talk About Jesus broadcast. They're kind of in sequence, and people can listen to them in 30-minute segments, and it makes it very user-friendly. And yet, if you listen to all three of them, you get a full, absolute full message on a particular topic, and the topics evidently God wants people to hear because they're coming and downloading, and we're grateful for that. But we claim to Scripture. Now that we're praying for revival, beginning as an epicenter right here. God's already using the word here to go forth, but I'm talking about us. Revival in us, praise God, and through us to others. That's what we're praying for. And we're claiming a scripture, and the scripture is the first verse, the first two verses of Isaiah chapter 64. And I'm going to read it tonight. Listen to it. Oh, that you would rend the heavens, and that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence. As fire burns brushwood, I'm reading from the New King James, as fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, to make your name known to your adversaries. We'll never have a true revival while we're trying to make our name known as a great spiritual force for God. Amen. The real motive for true revival is to make his name known. Every time I pray, Lord, glorify your name. Magnify your name. Amen. Qualify your name. I prayed today before eating, like I've been asking the Lord to move. I said, Lord, distinguish yourself. That's why we can pray the prayer in the book of Acts. The gospel is threatened today. Amen. It's not just threatened because his servants alone are under the threat around the world. In America, we as preachers are not necessarily that threatened. But I want you to know the gospel is threatened. Amen. There's more of a threat going on in the watering down and polluting and perverting of the gospel than there was in just trying to hurt those who carried the gospel in the first century church. Can you say amen? There's a very real danger, a very real threat. And they said, Lord, behold their threatenings. Look what they're doing. Amen. Look at the threat to the gospel and the proclaiming of it. And they said, Lord, grant unto thy servants that in fact, they just said, Lord, that we could speak your word with boldness. But they said, Lord, let stretch forth your hand to heal. It's a prayer that God would confirm his word. Amen. By healing his covenant people and healing other people that come seeking. Amen. That they might know that he is the living and true God. And they might know that Jesus has been raised from the dead. That they might know, amen, that he is not a man-made God, but he is indeed the God who made man. Amen. It's for his glory. That's one of the tenets here in revival. That you would come down and manifest yourself. Amen. That the nations may tremble at your presence to make your name known among your adversaries. When you did awesome things for which we did not look. Remember Jeremiah 33:3? And call upon me, and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You came down, the mountain shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God beside you, who acts for the one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. That's repentance for the church. Verse 5 is the church repenting. If my people, which are called by my name, is that enough just to have a prayer meeting, a prayer vigil, to gather on the steps of the Capitol and ask God to save the pagans and the sinners? No. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that we're sinning, we continue to sin. And there's not going to be a revival until we deal with our own sin. Can you say, man, where's judgment begin? The house of God. So much in here. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, it's never entered into the heart of man. Hallelujah. It's a New Testament scripture used about heaven, but it's not about heaven. We can use it legitimately, but we can't use it in context about heaven, because it's about God moving, God manifesting. And the Bible said we're supposed to have some of that happening. I hear it too. It's not thunder. But whatever it is, it's not in here. So hallelujah anyhow. Praise God. Yet. Praise God. Amen. And if it comes in here, God can handle it. Praise the Lord. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love him, but he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Can you say amen? This is not about something future. This is about something God wants to do now. And verse 7 said, and there's none. Oh, well, let me finish this. But verse 6 says that, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf. Our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there's none who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us, and you have consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter, and we are the work of your hand. Do not be furious, O Lord. Do not remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look, we are all your people. Your holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem is a desolation. Our holy and beautiful temple, where our fathers praised you, is burned up with fire. And all our pleasant things are laid waste. Will you restrain yourself because of these things, O Lord? Will you hold your peace and afflict us very severely? Real revival, there's a sense of deep conviction because of sin. Why is it needed? Why do we need revival? Amen. Why do we need it? We got churches so good at doing church. Preachers so good at preaching. Can you say, man, programs so effective to entertain people and get them out of bed and get them into the building on Sunday? Isaiah 64, 1 through 11, we see that that need existed in 700 B.C. And it's similar to our need today. Great mountains and obstacles are hindering God's blessings. There's a great deal of open sin. Amen? I said there's a great deal of open sin in the church. Don't get me started preaching. If you amen quickly, I'll move quickly to the prayer. There's a great deal of open sin. It's indicated by the words at the end of verse 5 and verse 6. There was prayerlessness. No man, in verse 7, no man stirs himself up to lay hold on them. I'm not talking about just praying prayers, and I mean saying prayers. I'm talking about the effectual, fervent praying with compassionate hearts, because the church sees its need for revival. We sing that great song, I'm returning to the heart of worship, and I'm sorry for the thing I've made it. That was a church full of people, by the way. That was a church with a great auditorium. That was a church with people filling all of the seats in that great auditorium. But they understood the worship of God has to be more than just doing church well on Sunday. And we can't just make it some kind of religious routine and call it revival, because it isn't revival. There was prayerlessness. God's judgment was resting on his people, according to verse 9. The holy city was in a state of desolation. And we can see the same things today. Let me read you some stuff before we have this song and we pray. Conviction. Say that with me. Conviction. Every authentic revival was marked by deep conviction. It began by people being convicted. And many people were ready to receive the message of salvation before they ever got to church or where the meeting was being held. They were so convicted of their sin. That's why last week we saw in the video they left a dance under conviction. That's what he's saying. God, come down and do that that only God can do. We're so good at preaching, we think we don't need the mighty work of the Holy Spirit, the initial work of the Holy Spirit in salvation. When he comes, when he, the Holy Ghost, comes, he will convince the world of sin. Can you say amen? He will make the sinner know about his lost condition. He will let him know that he is in danger of being judged eternally by a holy God who has every right to judge him if he continues to resist and reject the gospel. Today that is considered fire and brimstone stuff, and it's allotted to the past, but we will never see a real revival in America. I said a real revival in America. Until we can see people deeply convicted of their sin. I'm going to quote from a book here a couple of things and some of my own thoughts. It's often in the form that this conviction of sin takes that troubles those who read of revival. Sometimes the experience is crushing. People weep uncontrollably and worse. But there's no such thing as a revival without tears of conviction and sorrow. The Bible said that godly sorrow worketh repentance. That's the initial reaction of the human soul to the conviction of the Holy Spirit is godly sorrow. I'm sorry for my sin. I can't maintain my dignity. I can't simply walk down the aisle, take the preacher's hand and recite part of the creed of the church and call it salvation. There's never been a revival without conviction of sin. And a revival that is gift-driven, because people come together to be to see spiritual phenomena, but they are not weeping because of their sin. It's not a God-sent revival. And to prove it isn't, they don't last. Can you say amen? And many of the leaders themselves fall because people put them on the pedestal. And that pride, amen, causes them to fall. Listen to me carefully. In January 1907, God was moving in a powerful way in North Korea. And a Western missionary recalls one particular scene I'm going to quote. As the prayer continued, a spirit of heaviness and sorrow for sin came upon the audience. Over on one side, someone began to weep. And in a moment, the whole audience was weeping. Man after man would rise, confess his sins, break down, and weep. And then throw himself on the floor and beat the floor with his fist. Everybody say real revival. How many want to see a real revival? In perfect agony of conviction, again another confession, they would break out in uncontrollable weeping. Everybody say uncontrollable weeping. Where is that today? Where is brokenness over our sin? Where is a sense that we have offended a holy God and deserve judgment? And we desperately need mercy. Where are people running to altars, crying out to God to save them? That's real revival. And when you put real revival up against what we call revival, there's no resemblance. Said then we would all weep. We could not help it. And so the meeting went on until 2 o'clock in the morning with confession of sin, weeping, and praying. He went on to describe a meeting a few nights later when many were brought to a deep conviction of sin. He said, and I quote, "My last glimpse of the audience is photographed indelibly on my mind and my brain. Some threw themselves full length on the floor. Every man forgot every other." See, there was no one conscious of who was around them and what they may think. Each was face to face with God. I can hear that fearful sound of hundreds of men pleading with God for life, for mercy, for forgiveness. The cry went out over the city till the heathen were in consternation. Scenes like this were typical of every recorded revival. Every real revival. The Holy Spirit convinced people they were sinners, they were lost, and they were in desperate need of a Savior. And people cried out to God for mercy. What happened? Someone wrote a book on why revival doesn't take place in the West in terms of God's manifesting, coming down, like it does in many of these other countries. It's because we have a cheap grace. They concluded that we have a cheap way of coming to Jesus. You don't have to feel deep conviction. You don't have to be worried about the destiny of your soul. You just come and get your free ticket to heaven. Who wouldn't take it? Can you say amen? Amen. No wonder God won't come down like he does there, because churches are satisfied with a head count. That's why so many young people are leaving the church, disillusioned with the Christ, amen, and a Christian religion that isn't worth their devotion, that isn't worth their commitment. But you know, one of the fastest growing religions in the world that's making strides as we're sitting here tonight with young men and women joining up and making commitments, some becoming radical, amen, overly radical in their, you know what it is? It's Islam. Why? Because it demands allegiance. It requires commitment. Amen. They don't water it down to get people to join it. Amen. Isn't it amazing? As strong as the women's movement is and the feminist movement, it hasn't hindered that religion that is so demeaning to women. People are still willing. Families are willing. Children are willing to commit. Incredible. Scenes like this are typical of every recorded revival. There's no revival without deep, uncomfortable, and humbling conviction of sin. Revival in China in 1906 was marked by a wholly unusual conviction of sin. In 1921, the revival that began in East Anglican fishing ports of Lowestoft and Great Yarmouth, England, strong fishermen were literally thrown to the floor under conviction. Until one eyewitness reported, "The ground around me was like a battlefield with souls crying to God for mercy." When God came to Cornwall, England in 1814, the people were in great distress over their sin. During this meeting, hundreds were crying for mercy at once. Some remained in distress of soul for 1 hour, some for two, some for six, some for 9, 12, and some for 15 hours. Isn't that incredible? They're saying, "Lord, I'm sorry. Have mercy on me." Until the Lord spoke peace to their souls. Then they would proclaim the wonderful works of God. In the first half of the 19th century in America, God used ministries in revival for over 30 years. And during the preaching of the gospel, scenes of deep conviction were commonplace. One observer described a meeting at Calway near Saratoga Springs in the summer of 1819. I'm going to give you a quote. Listen, "The room was so crowded that we were obliged to request all who had recently found relief, who had been converted, to retire below and spend their time in prayer for those above. This evening will never be forgotten. The scene is beyond description. Did you ever witness 200 sinners with one accord in one place weeping for their sins? Until you've seen this, you have no adequate conceptions of the solemn scene. I felt as though I was standing on the verge of the eternal world, while the floor under my feet was shaken by the trembling of anxious souls in view of judgment to come. The solemnness was interrupted only by the sighs and sobs of anxious souls. I only add that some of the most stout, hard-hearted, heaven-daring rebels have been in the most awful distress. Some of the hardest hearted among them were some of those most broken and humbled and crying out to God for mercy." And honey, when families see a daddy down at an altar crying out to God for mercy, getting genuinely converted and saved, it's going to sweep through that family, hallelujah, like a wildfire. Can you say amen? At Cambuslang, Scotland, the experience was by no means exceptional in the story of revivals. Men and women suffered such agony and distress over their sin that some would faint or cry out under the burden. So universal is the work of conviction in revival that Jonathan Edwards put it at the top of his list, describing how the sinner is converted. And here's what he said. Persons are first awakened with a sense of their miserable condition by nature and the danger that they are in of perishing eternally. Persons are sometimes brought to the borders of despair, and it looks as black as midnight to them a little before the day dawns in their souls. Several instances there have been of persons who have had such a sense of God's wrath for sin that they have been overborne and made to cry out under an astonishing sense of their guilt, wondering that God suffers such guilty wretches to live upon the earth. Everybody say real revival. Most people have never seen. I experienced conviction before my conversion. I was so used to the Holy Ghost coming and wooing me that I got used to it. And I thought it would always be there. And when I sowed my wild oats and did my thing, someday when I'm an old guy, amen, I would. And by the way, I'm an old guy now, and temptation is still strong. There's no day like that. Listen to me. I was on my way home from work, and suddenly what he's describing happened to me. And it was a wonderful work of the Spirit of God, because I've been around church all my life, and that was detrimental to me, because I figured I could do this on my own and on my own time when I wanted to. And the Lord let me sense my lost condition. The only way I can tell you about, listen, I didn't come to church to get a free ticket to heaven initially. I come, amen, to make sure I didn't go to hell. Heaven was not on my mind when I was praying. Did you hear me? I said heaven was nowhere on my mind. Amen. Heaven was like a bonus to forgiveness. Can you say, man, heaven wasn't what was motivating me? The realization of my lost condition and my where I was going to spend eternity. That's what was bothering me. That's what caused me to call my daddy, amen, and say, Dad, where is there a church service? I need to get in church. Amen. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I couldn't think about work. I couldn't think about my sin. Praise God. All I could think about was I got to get in church where I can encounter the Holy Spirit again to help me find my way back to God. And when I went to church, the preacher could take credit for a great sermon if he wanted to. I didn't hear a word that he preached. Amen. God had a hold of me before I ever got there. Amen. I went to church down in Wymama, all the way down near Fort Lonesome in Wymama. And I'm going to tell you something. It was a Church of God camp meeting, the only church that was going on in the middle of the week. And I said, Dad, I got to get to church. I got to get to church. He loaded me up and took me down there. I sat there waiting for them to make the altar call. I have no idea what that man preached. I was too convicted of my sin to listen to his message. Can you say amen? He can't take credit for my soul. Amen. Intercessory prayer is the only thing that got a hold of me. And you know what it turned loose? It turned loose Holy Ghost conviction. And I'm going to tell you how it felt. I was coming home from work, and I was used to God touching my heart, talking, wanting to talk to me about my destiny, about my lost condition. And I would turn up rock and roll purposely. Amen. I would literally blast it out on my radio to drown out that still small voice that was talking to me. So this night, amen, I was waiting. Because it was quiet. I hadn't turned on my music yet. And I was waiting, amen, for that voice to come. I was waiting for those thoughts to come about eternity. Those ones I would shove off and say, not now to God. And you know what he did? He didn't show up. And not only didn't he show up, Sean, I felt like I was the only, I felt like I was in a universe by myself. I felt absolutely lost and abandoned. And I'm going to tell you something, lost and abandoned. There's no sin worth the feeling I had that night, let alone where it would lead me if I didn't repent. Can you say amen? It stirred me. It motivated me. There was no relationship worth that. Amen. Are you listening to me? There was no sin worth it. There was nobody worth it. Nothing is worth that. And I cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord. And the Lord spoke to me. Because a week earlier, I was on my way home from work. I had taken Benzedrine to pull a big peace count, working night shift. On the way home, I knew I had to come down and go to sleep. So under my seat was a bottle of Southern Comfort whiskey, something I could drink without a chaser. At least I could. I was a sissy. I had to have something I could handle. Amen. But I had to get it in me some way. I didn't like it. I made a face and I gagged on it. But I drunk it anyway. And I would sip on that whiskey on the way home. Time I got home, I could lay down and it would counteract the Benzedrine that was making my heart pump. I could go to sleep. A week earlier, I was sipping on that. All the way home, it's a cold, cold wee hours of the morning. And I went to sleep 2 blocks from home. Crashed my car into a power pole. Destroyed the car. It didn't harm me at all. Didn't have my seat belt on. Never thought about a seat belt. It happened just after daylight. And my grandmother got up, went to the bathroom, got down on her knees because she felt that I was in jeopardy, and she was interceding while that was happening to me. And you know something? It did not get my attention because I survived it. Amen. I didn't even get a DUI because I just floored it, got into the yard. And in that yard, I remember thinking how close I came. If I'd hit it head on instead of sideways hit, it would have threw me straight through that windshield. No airbag, no seatbelt, and I would have went out into a Christless eternity. But God was gracious because of intercession. I'm here because of intercession tonight. Praise God. Amen. But then a week later, I'm on my way home, happy that I survived that, not thinking about the goodness nor the grace of God. And the Lord spoke to my heart when I felt that lost condition. And he said, if you don't want me in your life and you don't want me to bother you, I will not bother you anymore. I won't keep bothering. People think, my Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man. My Bible says there are those that if they keep choosing darkness over light, he'll say, go ahead into the darkness then. He'll give them up to a reprobate mind. You'll hear that preaching, but it's in the book. God is serious about this thing. We can't just say, I'm going to push you away every time you come and invite me to come to you. But when I get ready, I'm going to come. You're not going to come on your terms. No man comes except the Holy Spirit draw him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to me carefully. Hallelujah. God got my attention. He said, if you go off the road tonight, you're on your own. And that shook me to the core of my being. You talk about somebody driving careful the rest of the way home. I drove up in the yard, amen, and my wife, this was a week later, I drove up in the yard and the light was on, and I came in and I found out that God had already got a hold of Pamela, convicted her while she watched King of Kings on television. Praise God. That had to be the Holy Ghost because Jeffrey Hunter ain't a good Jesus. Can you say, man, he just ain't. It was more of a Hollywood melodrama, but there's enough word in it, enough truth in it, enough gospel in it. Amen. The Holy Ghost came in the living room. Amen. She felt lost and cried out to God for forgiveness. Praise the Lord. Amen. And she was saved. Amen. When I walked in, hallelujah, saw her cigarettes in the trash can. I knew she was saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Didn't take a week or a month. Praise the Lord. Happened all in one package. Hallelujah. That's when I said to my daddy, I got to find God. I got to get back to God. This conviction brings real conversion. This conviction brings real conversion. And real conversion, amen, touches other people because they see the change in us and they know God has done something real. You're not just a churchgoer, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? How many believe that we need to pray for revival in America? I don't believe this worked last time. I think this is the same one that didn't work. But you can see if it didn't, we would just go to our song. Praise the Lord. But we're getting ready to pray right now. We're getting ready to pray for revival. And we're going to begin by praying that once again the Holy Spirit will convict people. And let him. How about us? Is it all right if he convicts us too of our sin? Because he does it out of love. He did that out of love to touch me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. It probably won't. It will. Let's get a burden for the lost before we pray. Many souls depend on revival in America. many of our loved ones.
Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. Children died, the days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. A man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind.
You know, we have to ask ourselves the question, do we really believe that? Do we really believe that? Does the church in America really get it? Do we understand? There's a 46-year-old man in the hospital. hovering between life and death right now. Someone that we grew up with in church. When he draws his last breath, he's going somewhere forever. I remember services at the Holy Church of God. The adults would come down. We'd have hands laid on. We'd have prayer. And suddenly we'd look up. Teenagers would be filing down. We didn't preach to the youth. We didn't play this video. They just came filing down, captivated by the need for Jesus. Without being called to salvation, no one can come and be saved. No man comes to me except my Father draw him. These mental assent decisions are phony. They do not last. And yet we're telling them they did everything they needed to do to go to heaven. And many, this is from the man who's going to be the judge of all flesh. Many will say to me in that day what they've been told to say. Lord, Lord. And he will say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I know you not. Can you say amen? We can't have this cheap grace, bargain basement, build the building, get the building fund up, count the heads and call it success. We can't have a series of meetings based on gifts of the Spirit and call that a revival when people are not convicted of sin. And we need Holy Ghost conviction to come back. I would look, teenagers would be coming and kneeling. Then I would look again and there would be young people, 10, 11 years old, coming and kneeling before God. You remember those meetings. I've seen this man laying on his face between the pew. Who put him there? Amen. The Spirit of God was in that place. The Spirit of God was in that room. I don't want to ever get so good at preaching that I don't recognize the need for the Spirit of God to touch people's lives. He is what he is today because he encountered the Spirit of God in that meeting. Amen. Let's come and pray together. For Holy Ghost conviction to come here in this place to this people. Hallelujah. And let's invite it for our own lives. I want to be convicted of my sin. I want Psalm 51 to be real in my life. I want to join you in a prayer for cleansing tonight. Hallelujah. I want to welcome, not ever resist or reject the promptings and of the Holy Spirit. I want to feel him again. I'm going to tell you what I want. I get passionate, but I want to weep again. I want to be broken again in the presence of God. I get so distracted. I get so busy. I get so involved in so many things. It's almost like I'm becoming desensitized in the terms of that brokenness before the Lord. I get so sick and tired of all of the politics of the church world, and you find it everywhere you turn. It's hard to find inspiration in a self-indulgent nation with a Laodicean church age upon her. Can you say amen? But every time I look at revival taking place around the world, I see it again and I sense it again and I feel again what happened to me and what happened to you. Praise the Lord. Some of you are saved tonight because you were in a church where God came down like Isaiah was praying for. Can you, God move the mountain of sin in your life? Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we stand here tonight recognizing the difference between what we have become desensitized to and often satisfied with in place of what you want to send us. We watch our children come to church and not be moved about anything in their life. Nothing Godward. Nothing in their heart that is Godward. Absolutely nothing Godward. Oh, Lord, they sit in the services. We sing the songs, but their heart is not touched. Lord, I pray that you will visit us. I pray that you will rend the heavens. I pray that you will come down in these services. I pray that young people will be convicted again in this place of their sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. Father, I pray in my own life that no sin will be trivialized, that no sin will be hidden, that I won't say, Lord, you didn't strike me down, so maybe that's not one that's up there. You anointed me to preach, so maybe I don't need to fully repent of that. Maybe it's not a big deal after all. Oh, God, forgive me. Father, forgive me. Cleanse me. Hallelujah. I want to be a vessel that doesn't hinder that flow and that convicting power. Give us pure hearts and give us clean hands, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come to the hill of the Lord. We come to beseech you for revival. We come to beseech you for your presence. Father, who shall approach the hill of the Lord? Lord, we got to go through a cleansing. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Purify us, Lord. Cleanse us, Lord. Save our lost loved ones. Save our children. Is it all right to say they're lost? Is it all right to admit the truth? No regard for God's house, no love for God's word, no desire for God's praise? Is it all right to admit we got lost kids and they need to be saved? Some are in churches with programs, but it hasn't changed them at all. They have fun at church and they don't have fun. Amen. But they need more than the program. They need to encounter the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and they need to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, send revival. Lord, we won't let up. We won't lower the standard. We will not trust in a puppet show to do what only the Holy Spirit can do. We will not trust in computer games at church to do what only the Holy Spirit can do. Lord, we will not trust a basketball court at church to do what only the Holy Spirit can do. None of these things are wrong in themselves, but when we trust them to do what only the Holy Spirit can do, we lock out true revival. Let Holy Ghost conviction come. Let it come and let it come strong. Lord, we're the few that care enough to meet here and pray for this thing, but we care that much. Let any lost person in this room tremble. Let them tremble, God. Not because you don't love them, but you love them too much to let them alone, Lord. And the exodus to churches where they can be comfortable with their sin. Lord, don't let that stop you. Oh, God, come upon them while they lay upon their beds at night. Come upon them in the skating rinks. Come upon them. Come upon them. Come upon them in the classroom, God. Override their iPods. Override their worldly music. Come upon them. Visit them like you visited me. Hem them in like you hemmed me in. Oh, God, thank you for not letting me go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Holy Ghost conviction. I haven't seen it for years, and years have piled up on top of years, and I haven't seen it. Oh God, I want to see it again. I want to see souls genuinely saved. I want to see them sealed by the Holy Spirit, secured, hallelujah, because their hearts are devoted to you and to you alone. And all the young people that are leaving mega churches right now because they can't follow through. They haven't found what they were looking for. Oh God, we reach out to them tonight. Don't let them go to other religions. Don't let them go into false religions. Oh God, convict them. Lord, Spirit of truth, come upon them. Point them back to the cross and show them a Jesus that is worth committing to. Show them the deadness of the church and use some of them that are disillusioned to lead a mighty revival. Hallelujah. Get your word to them. Challenge them. This word is not too strong. Praise God for young men and women. Rend the heavens. Rend the heavens. We're asking you, Lord. We're beseeching you. Lord, rend the heavens. Rend the heavens. Come down. We're in desperate need. Halavahosa. Salabaka satana. Shidalamosoda. Salamabahasata. Kelamahasata. Hallelujah. Salama. Moshalababahala. The church is full of sexual sin and no one seems to care. Halama. Come down, Lord. Come down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shulabakasatanama. Sin revival. Sin true revival. Moshulababa. Driven by Holy Ghost conviction and true repentance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shelamakosana. Exalts the cross of Jesus Christ and the Christ upon it. Hallelujah. That men would love him. That men would serve him. That young people would embrace him and not let him go. Halabasila. No, 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 masandarabakia. Moshalabaha. Halabakasatarabas. Nikalabahasilianda. Cry out for your loved ones that are lost. For in standing in the gap, you make up the hedge that the enemy not destroy them, saith God. Cry unto me. Call unto me, my children. For I listen. I have listened. I have listened. I have been listening for your cry that I may move, saith God. Oh God. Have I not responded to the cry of my people? Have I not responded to the cry of my people? Did I not come down? Did I not come down? Did I not come down to go to the cross? Did I not come down on the day of Pentecost? Did I not come down? Were not thousands saved because I came down to you, saith the Lord? Halabashilaba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I won't have to preach on hell for this to happen. Amen. The sermons were short in comparison to what was going on because people were already under conviction. They were waiting like I was waiting. Just make the altar call, man. Just give me the opportunity to run to God and escape the judgment to come. I am ready to be saved. I'm not ready to make deals with God. This is everything for Jesus. I lay it all down to have Jesus as my Savior. Jesus, Eloi, Eloi, Reba Hosoda Ramani Nanamo, Kesola Babrosha Lamaniteta, Shela Bakitana Mosata, Shela Banianda Basalama. Father, visit us, please visit us. Shola Bokoro Shola Marianda Basiti under the Bakata, Ne Shola Marianda Basataya. My grandchildren are lost, oh God, they're lost, they're lost. They're lost, they're lost, they're lost. If one of them goes into eternity tonight, they're headed for a Christless hell. I don't want to see that happen in my family. I don't want to conduct a funeral for one of them. Come upon them, Holy Spirit. I've talked with them. They've been where I have preached. They've heard me preach funerals. They're unmoved. They're unmoved. I was unmoved, but you moved me, God. You moved me, Lord. Halabakosanda. You came down in that car and you shook me. Halabakosanda rababa. Andarababa. No preacher did that. You did it, God. You did it. Do it again, Lord. Father, we pray now over this community. You've sent us here to this place. You could have sent us to Land O'Lakes. You could have sent us somewhere on north side of Tampa. Be easier for many of these people to get to, but you sent us here in this community. Father, they drive up and down every single day. Olabakisa, Mambaba. They're unmoved and unconcerned about their souls. But I pray tonight that that will change. I pray, Holy Spirit, Mokalabaha Satanama, that you will settle over this neighborhood. Mokola Baba, Nenda Dabari of Shola Baba, Allah, full of lost people. Hallelujah. That you will settle over this neighborhood. That while we're reaching to the nations of the world, that we don't miss our own community. In the name of Jesus, come down upon these households. Holy Spirit, come down upon these households. Hadabakisa, Moshala Mama, Nenda Dabasilianda. Hallelujah. Give them a hunger to be saved from the wrath to come. And give us the boldness to preach the judgment to come with a broken heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moshalabaki sanamabiyanda. And I'm going to give this warning as we close tonight from the Lord Himself to us. Beware lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting drunkenness and the cares of this life. And I'm not talking about alcoholic beverage per se. I'm talking about eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, building. Same thing that was going on in Noah's day and Lot's day. It's just business as usual. Can you say, man, too busy for God, too busy to intercede, too busy to sense the nearness of what's about to happen? Can you say, man, it's our busyness He's addressing. But see, here we are tonight, Lord. Here we are. Look upon us, Lord. Here we are tonight. We've taken time. We're all too busy to be here, if truth be known. But Lord, we're not really too busy. We can't be that busy. Not in these days, in these closing moments. hearts. Let this be an epicenter. Moshallah, on the day of Pentecost, that church became an epicenter. Moshallah, the place where they was in, it started when they prayed. That place was shaken. It was shaken. It was shaken. Oh, hallelujah. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Praise the Lord. And with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus. They had more than a correct message and a correct creed and a correct dogma. God confirmed the word. God came down, and he didn't just heal the sick and raise the dead. He convicted the heart of the sinner till thousands said, "What must we do to be saved?" Oh, hallelujah. I said thousands cried out, "Peter, tell us, what must we do to be saved?" And thousands were swept into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, with a paragraph of truth about Jesus and the cross. Today we speak thousands of words and we only have a few converts. They spoke a few words and had thousands of converts because they were absolutely dependent on the Holy Ghost to pierce the heart and prepare the heart. Glory unto the Basota. Salabakita. Shalabarionda de Basata. Moshalabakita. Hallelujah. There was more than a phenomenon of tongues there. Hallelujah. There was Holy Ghost conviction. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Holy Ghost conviction. Holy Ghost conviction. Hallelujah. When it was scary to go to church, when a man and his wife dropped dead in the church, when they realized we're dealing with a real God who takes sin seriously. Amen. The church still grew. The church still grew. The church still grew. You know why? Because of man's programs and a watered down, amen, gospel? No, because God added to the church such as should be saved. God did it. Can you say amen? They didn't have to compromise the message. God did it. And God can do it again. And he's doing it in China tonight. And there's a gospel from America that has been taken into Africa right now that is threatening the move of God there. And you know what it is? It's what's driving the full gospel movement in America. It's the gospel of money and gold. And it's threatening to quench the revival that God, the Holy Spirit, has begun. Because it's pointing people to the material world and away from the things of the Spirit of God. And there's no judgment to come in the message. And there's no getting right with God in the message. There's just getting rich in the message. I pray it never gets into China. I pray the satellites won't get it in there. I pray the televisions won't bring it. And the computers, I pray God will keep them from being polluted like it's happened in America. They got the real thing happening. People really getting saved. Whole families coming to Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? They got what's happening in China tonight. What we need to happen in America tonight. Heavenly Father, we prayed. We've asked you to come down. It is the theme of our prayers here. You've given us the first beginning, foundation, fundamental of true revival. Is praying that you would come down and convict the soul of sin so that that soul can find its way to a Savior. Father, thank you for loving us enough to talk to us clearly, concisely, to tell us exactly how to pray tonight. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, next Sunday night you can count on us standing in the gap and making up the hedge. In fact, Lord, we're going to open the end of these meetings here. And we're going to say, Lord, we're going to pray till you come. Hallelujah. Not until we're done or we're tired of it or we're giving up because we don't see some immediate change. But Lord, we're going to pray till you come and rain righteousness on us. Hallelujah. 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 Say it with me if you would in closing. Lord, rend the heavens. and come down. Shalaba kusandara, elaba every revival. That's what God did. Shalaba kusa, me shalabariti, kelebohoro shalabarianda. In the spirit, I can see people coming down the aisle that have been so hard-headed and hard-hearted that I can see them coming down, weeping their way. Amen. While we're singing the praises of God, I can see them coming because of what's happening right here. We're doing battle here tonight. Sister Ruth, do you feel it? This is spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. 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 The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. I'm not convincing enough, hallelujah, to get anybody to come forward. But the Holy Ghost can do that. Hallelujah. It's His job. It's His mission. Praise the Lord to the lost. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. That's what grew the Holy Church of God with converts and souls. People to baptize in water. Moshalamaninde. Moshalabakasataya. Tedabasatana. Moshalabari. Neshalabakite. Netadabaroshalaba. Kesholabarianda. Kesholababa. Nendadabasata. Hallelujah. Lord, we want a lot more of the Holy Ghost and a lot less of us. Praise the Lord. Stretch forth your hand. Confirm your word. Distinguish yourself among the gods who are no gods. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Pray this week. Let's don't let up. If you want to read it for yourself, read Isaiah 64 and know that every revival is based on a cry from someone for God to come down. Hallelujah. And if they cried long enough and hard enough, God listened. When they proved to Him that they were serious and sincere and could be entrusted, because when He come down, hallelujah, amen, He began that mighty work. He used those people that were praying for Him to come down. Praise God. I hope next week the video will work and I can bring it. I want to show you two people that were bedridden, one of them with bed sores. And they said, Lord, what can we do for You? And they got a spirit of prayer for revival. They said, Lord, we need a revival. And I don't mean a fancy preacher preaching for 10 days and business as usual and the youth having a good time at the concert and going right back into their same values and same sins when it's over. Can you say, man, but a real revival that changes people? Praise God. They begin to covenant together in prayer, and God listened from on high. Hallelujah. Praise God. And God came down, and another revival was turned loose because a blind lady and a rheumatoid arthritis lady, amen, in the last of their days, began to cry unto Him, oh God, come down upon these islands. Come down upon our homes and our churches. Hallelujah. And God came down. Praise the Lord. If the two of them can get a response from God, I think this little group right here can see the same result from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, grant it. Let it be so. We say amen to it tonight. And everyone said amen. Shake hands with somebody before you go. God is a great and gracious God. Hallelujah. And look for Him to do wondrous things in these services. And we've got a lot of people out.